conversation, but because of all the stuff that's going on, and I have to say, honestly, I was so aggravated and so mad this morning when I seen where the Taliban took their elite forces, and because we left all that equipment over there, they put on American gear, and they reenacted that famous photo of Iwo Jima raising the flag. But they're raising the terrorist flag over Afghanistan. I have to say, furious is not even close. You know, and all this stuff that's going on in this world, and then by the time they thought they had the virus under control, then the variant and all that. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you got to show me something that's going to speak to us now. Because we need a now message. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this message as a springboard, and I'm going to use it for First Sundays for a while, for at least, maybe a couple of months, and just keep going a little bit at a time. But how many have ever read the book of Job? You know that Job doesn't have a last name? You know why he don't have a last name? Because his last name is Linton. His last name is Neathammer. His last name is Caro. His last name is Richards. Yes. Oh yeah, breaking out with boils. Yes, is that his Wayne? his middle name is Wayne. With all those boils that he had, or those hives that he had. And so I really felt compelled of God to talk from the book of Job. And it may be a little long this morning. I hope it's not. But it's kind of hard to even set a foundation for this. And the song, Day Star Shine Right Through Me, and what DC said ahead of time, was just very powerful about what's going on around here and in the world today, and it just drives me insane that so many things are happening that I actually can do nothing about. Anybody here got anything going on that you can do nothing about? Matter of fact, has anybody here got things going on that just keep getting worse instead of better? Well, you come to the right place at the right time this morning. Get your Bible out to the book of Job. Book of Job. It's right before the book of Psalms, the book of Job. It's in the New Testament. Okay, I'm just saying, if y'all listening, it's in the Old Testament before the book of Psalms. Stand for the reading of the word. Remember, we're going to do this on First Sundays, back to basics. We're going to talk about Job because, honestly, what I'm going to talk about today is happening before our very eyes, along with Revelation. Next week, we're going to go back to Revelation. But we had somebody last week come in here, bless his heart, and he had a little bit of just a coughing spell, but he'd been fully vaccinated. He come in here, he had a little coughing spell before service, and when he left, he just come in the back, and then he just left out of here because he didn't want anybody to get his cough. And then the next day, he called me and said that he tested positive for COVID after being fully vaccinated. And so it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it still wasn't the greatest thing that he was going through. And so that's when, honestly, is when this started hitting hard. And the more I hear all week long about, you know, possible American hostages may wind up being, you know, over and maybe another Tehran and all this stuff going on. It just, you know, the more I listen, the more I see all these things coming to pass. The revelation is really good, but this is going to have to be our little break in between revelation. Amen. You got your book, you got your Bible, turned to Job. Everybody stand ready. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, a man had his act going on. Somebody say he had his act together. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had to have his act together with 10 kids. Wow. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And so it was when the day of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This Job did continually. Think about this now. Here's the man. Somebody say he's the man. He's the man. I mean, he is the man. I mean, you just can't beat him. He is the man. Let's see if I can get this up here and get y'all acquainted with what's actually going on here. God's good. God's good all the time. Here we go. Let's get this going here. Okay. Here we go. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from coming, going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But put thou forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, saying, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, I mean, the phone keeps on ringing. It won't stop ringing. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, and you are taking care of business as we speak. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to see you, Lord, as you are, to minister, God, in the way only you can. I know, God, that everything is in your hands and under your control. I ask you right now, Father, to minister mightily to each person in this place tonight, Lord, or today. And Lord, make a difference where only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. A tour guide was showing a tourist around Washington, D.C. The guide pointed out the place where George Washington supposedly threw a dollar across the Potomac River. The man said, there is no way you can throw a dollar that far. And he said, you have to remember, said the guy, a dollar went a lot further in those days. Okay, that stays in the book. All right. Remember I told you in the very beginning, Job does not have a last name mentioned in the Bible. The reason Job doesn't have a last name is because you can put your name in there. Like I said before, Job Linton, Job Sawyer, whatever your name is, you can believe that some of us have felt like Job from time to time. Now, the problem is when we're going through these things is we get it all misunderstood. We don't understand exactly what's going on. We begin to think that God has failed us, that he doesn't want to be around us, is that he is allowing all this to come on us to punish us. And so it's very, Very important that you notice in the book of Job, before the devil even touches him, it keeps talking about how perfect, and that means mature and complete, how perfect and mature that Job was. This is not some fly-by-night thing. This is not a guy that, you know, was just a good for a little while. This man here had a very awesome, awesome life. Now let's go a little bit further. There's three great trials in the Bible. The very first trial, of course, is the trial of Christ. Now you got to understand this. First, it started in Gethsemane. Now we think that Jesus won our victory in Gethsemane. No, Jesus won his victory in Gethsemane. Think about this. Jesus in Gethsemane, that's when he totally submitted to the will of God. Things could have changed from this point on. He didn't have to go to the cross. And he even said, I know my Father can send down thousands of angels, but God, help me. If it's even possible, let this cup, the cross, pass from me. But nevertheless, not your will. I mean, not my will, but your will be done. Some of you in here right now, you don't understand that you're going through your own Gethsemane. You're thinking that things are falling all to pieces because the devil's just trying to beat you up and God's up in heaven laughing. No. You're going through your Gethsemane because bigger things are coming and God has to have you on board, totally sold out. So in Gethsemane, Jesus totally sold out his humanity. Okay? His humanity is totally sold out. But then it ended on the cross, because in that trial on the cross, we became victorious. So the first trial, the trial of Christ. The second trial, of course, is when Abraham offers up Isaac on Mount Moriah. They did not know when they were offering, he was offering him up, and the ram was caught in the thicket, and God said, you did not withhold anything from me. He didn't realize that thousands of years down the road that the temple site would be right there, and Gethsemane would be right there, and Jesus was offered up in Isaac's place. So, two great great trials. But in the third trial is the trial of Job. The trial of Job, many times we forget about it, or many times we would like to think that we're not maybe going through what he went through, but he was delivered into the hand of Satan. Can you imagine an almighty God saying, here, Satan, have at him. Wow. That's not what I believe, Pastor. Well, it's not to be that might not be what you believe, but that's what the books say. I can't believe God would deliver me into Satan's hands to be tempted and be tried, and I've done nothing wrong. Well, the books say different. So there was a reason for this trial, but Job, he started writing. He said, Job 14:1, man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. I mean, you don't live long, and the whole time you're living, it's not easy. How many here's got an easy life? Raise your hand, just easy life. I mean, my life's so easy, I don't have to do anything. I'm like the sparrow, I'm sitting there and just dropping worms in my mouth. I got nothing to do. Let me tell you something. If you do, I want to trade lives with you because my life has never been easy. It's always been pushing a barrel uphill, but God's always been there and it's always been victory. Amen? So he also said, man is born, woman is yet man is born to trouble and surely as sparks fly upward. Can you imagine? Wow. That's some tough stuff. Here's Job. The man is doing good. He's the richest man around. He's the best man around. The man has done no wrong. And out of nowhere, you see, the curtains of heaven haven't been pulled back yet. Some of y'all right now, you're wondering what's going on, and you're so mad, and you're tore up about what's going on in your life and the losses that you have. This man, in a matter of just a few hours, had troubles and problems and persecution and such a powerful pain that it's beyond compare. I remember many times in my own life when my own health was in jeopardy. or when there was death in my family. And the biggest thing, of course, is the death of Bethany and watching her with the sores on her body and the cancer eating her up. And I just could not believe what I was seeing and what was happening around me. I was just looking and I had to understand that God hadn't pulled back the curtain of heaven to show me what was going on really. Some of y'all right now, you're really in distress. Maybe thinking about giving up on God because of what's happening. But there's going to come a day when God pulls back that curtain. And when he pulls back that curtain, you're going to say, wow, thank you, God. Thank you. I was ready to curse you, but now that you've showed me, now I understand your plan. Thank you, God. Thank you. You see, Job is our example for now. That song, Daystar, that second verse, perfect right now. But you know what? The Bible says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Well, we've had tribulation. We've had problems. There have been world wars. But you know what? All the world wars, there was always something we were fighting for. And in the world wars, there was always, you know, black and white. We had it all figured out. We were fighting communism. We were fighting this and that. And we had a place to go to fight, and then we could come back and find peace somewhere else. But nowadays, that's all out the window. We're not fighting communism. We're not fighting a certain set. What we're fighting is an ideology of this terrorist. And they're everywhere. They're all over the place. And it can happen anywhere, anytime. You have to understand, nowadays you don't know where to fight and not even sure who the enemy is. But see, that was hard enough. 9/11 was hard enough. But then, out of nowhere, came 2020. I remember sitting up here and saying, I believe God's going to show us. I didn't realize I was prophesying, but I was prophesying something I thought positive, but I was prophesying something that was negative. I said, okay, this is 2020, perfect vision. God's going to pull back the curtain and show us clearly how to move forward from here. I had no idea that God was going to pull back the curtain and show us, but what he was about to show us was going to take us into a depth of things that we had never experienced before. So 2020 comes at us at this excelled speed of life. We got a little, watch this. The very first thing was COVID-19. There was the shutdowns and the economy, and then there was calamity everywhere, and there was civil unrest and social unrest, and then there was the catastrophes, and like I said, Afghanistan right now, I was sickened at my stomach this morning when I saw Al-Qaeda dressed up in American uniforms that was left there for them, American uniforms, and they're mocking the guys putting up the flag at Iwo Jima. But they're putting up their terrorist flag. And when I saw it, I said, man, oh man. We've only begun to see what's coming. Only begun. And so what I believe now with all my heart is the forecast is there's more to come. We can't even imagine what is coming. We're hearing one thing, but the reports on the ground are another. I don't know who to even believe anymore about what's going on over there. I don't even know what to think. I don't know what to say. Because we've got so many different views and so many, everything's okay. I read a report yesterday where an American general, this is from the New York Times, I believe it was, an American general made a call to Britain and said, please quit rescuing your people. You're making us look bad. I get iller and iller and madder as I see all of these events unfolding. You see, let me tell you something out of nowhere. Anybody got any out of nowheres I can tell you why you got some out of nowheres. Number one, out of nowheres come to every person. It's common. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except for what's common unto man. So it's often unexpected. That word overtaken means to be unexpected. Many shapes and sizes. That sometimes it's four seasons, and it's always beyond our understanding until God pulls the curtain back. Makes us bitter or makes us better, but it's never beyond God's control. Let me just talk to you for just a minute on seasons of trial, because see, now Job is not going through a trial. Job is going through trials. Job is not going through one trial. Job is going through seasons. A season of trials. Many times when it's just one trial, I may get the wind knocked out of me, but I can get back up and I can get going when it's a trial. But when it's a season of trials, sometimes it's hard to get back up and get on your feet. Because every time you start to get your wind back, you get hit again. So watch this. There's storms, and then there's seasons of storms. Here's the difference. I can tell you, am I going through a season of storm? Am I going through storms? Well, what's going on here? Can you explain to me, Pastor, why I feel the way I do? What's going on in my life? Watch this. The difference in a storm and a season of storm is they both have a start. That's the same. That's where they're familiar. They both have a starting point, and they both have a source. Here's where everything changes. If it's just a storm, one trial is singular. But if it's a season of storms, it's multiple. In other words, maybe my trial is coming from the right. But when it's a season of storms, it's coming from the right, it's coming from the left, it's coming from down below, it's coming from up here, it's coming from everywhere. As we see what's going on in the world, not the United States, the world, is the world has been thrown into a season of trials. And if you bring it down, no matter where the trial is attempting to be taken out, whatever country it is, the whole world feels the impact. One oil well can burn down and the whole world oil goes up. One factory can burn down, and all of a sudden that product is nowhere to be found in the world. A crop in Florida, because of an early frost, can destroy. Remember that? It destroyed some of the citrus fruit, and then our citrus fruit went way, way high. Because the entire world is interconnected. Never in time has this world been so interconnected. That's why when the white horse comes on the scene, he's going to be a savior to the world, because the whole world is hurting. So now, if it's a single trial, it's manageable. If it's a season of trials, it's out of control. I remember one night that I remember they sent us into a woods fire. And of course, it had, you know, back then, this is way on back in the day when we had a horse pulling our fire gear. The guy stood up there and did like this to get it pumping. And I remember I was wearing a five-gallon pack on my back, and I had a flapper. You got a fireman, you know what I'm talking about, and I call it a flapper. And so we're going to the woods because they said a forestry man was in a bulldozer. We can't contact him. We don't know what to do. And so Chocowinny boy said, hey, we got this. Redneck to the rescue. We had RR, Redneck to the rescue. We go in that woods. There's like five of us. And the woods is on fire. And I've run out of water. And we're beating all around us. And we finally see the bulldozer. And we said, I wonder if he's passed out. And so we're fighting fire everywhere. It's everywhere. And we get up and we get to the bulldozer. And we say, don't worry, buddy, we got you. And we opened up the door and he was gone. His radio had died. He climbed out of the bulldozer and run to safety, but nobody knew. So five guys put their life at risk to go save somebody who wasn't even there. And I thought that trial by fire was very powerful. That's nothing now. All the stuff we've seen, all the stuff going around. You know, the difference in a storm is usually it's got a stopping point. But a season of storms got no stopping in sight. Wow. I can tell you, every time I think things are getting better, they get worse. Here they are thinking, you know, we got to get this shot. You won't get COVID. Yeah, tell that to Jimmy, who was fully vaccinated and got COVID. And my brother spent several days in the hospital because of COVID on oxygen. And he's younger than I am. I'm 100 years old. He's 98 years old. It's crazy. So yeah, let's go a little bit further here. We're going to talk about the reason for Job's storm, okay? Now I want you to listen carefully because I'm going to intertwine us with Job, okay? Watch this now, watch. The reason for the storm. Again, the Bible says that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. Did y'all know Satan goes to church? Don't look around. Do not point any fingers. Now, I remember one time, D.C. and Daniel, they were talking about, I'd preached about Satan, and D.C. and Daniel were in the back of the car, and Daniel said, D.C., do you really think that there's a Satan? And D.C. said, he said, I don't know, Daniel. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'm pretty sure he's like Santa Claus. It's just Daddy. Yeah. So, Satan, let me tell you something about him. He's an adversary. He's in direct opposite of everything we want to do for God. He's the very opposite of everything God wants in life for us. He's a person. He's real. He's not just evil. He's not just an evil influence. He's not just a force. Satan is a real person. Number two, he's got intellect. He's communicated with the Lord. He's got emotions. He was antagonistic towards Job. And he's got a will. His will was to destroy Job while dishonoring God's plan for Job. Think about this now. Think about it. Everything's going good. God has blessed Job beyond compare because he was the man. And now the man with the plan, wow, he's all to pieces. You see, that was Job's trial. Satan may not be responsible for starting your storm. I can promise you that. He may not be, but I can tell you this. He is responsible for stirring it. He will stir it. Man, he will stir it. He will stir your storm. He will go to you and tell you, whisper in your ear, God doesn't love you. God's not watching you. Where's your faith at now? Where's everybody at? What's going on? Why are you even serving God? Are you serving God for nothing? Wow. So now, let's just keep on going here. The ruler of the storm. We talked about the reason for the storm, Satan. But the ruler of the storm, I'm just going to put it like this. The ruler of the storm is God. God's in total control. God was the one that instigated the trial. Can you imagine that? God instigated the trial. What was God doing? Was God instigate the trial in order to show Job up and to bring him down? Nope. He instigated a trial to bring Satan down and show him up. Some of y'all in here right now, you're going through trials and you're wondering, why does it keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse? And you're thinking, man, Satan, if I could get my hand on you. But you know what? A while ago, we were up here playing the piano, and I'm going to tell you, keep forgetting I got my mic on, so you might have heard me. DC was playing that piano and singing, And I looked down at him. I was still playing, so I couldn't stop playing. And all of a sudden, I could see him at 8, 9 years old. Because he talked about it in practice today, about Daddy saying, learn your skills, learn your skills, learn your skills. And I could see him playing that piano, 10 years old. And I'm going, son, can you please quit playing? He said, but Daddy is in me. I said, yeah, but it ain't come out of you yet. We got him a set of concert drums, and they put him in the garage so we could get him over to the church. I about had a nervous breakdown because he'd go in there, boom, 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 and we're going. We're in the living room. His mama said, move the drums or I'm moving to the church. Either one. But I'm sitting there, and I thought about all that stuff just flew through my mind. And I remember the first time I heard him get at church and say, Daddy, can I get up and play today? And I said, well, I haven't heard you play this yet, son. He said, don't you trust me, Dad? I said, okay. And he got a keyboard and stuck it up. It was in Benson. And he started playing, and my heart dropped. And I said, you go, boy. You go. I said, God, thank you for that boy. And I started playing the bass with him. And that came back to me right then. I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I said, God, thank you for that boy. And I said, God, and I just kept saying, thank you for that boy. Thank you for that boy. Thank you for your power. Wow. You see, God instigated his storm, but God also regulated it. God said, you can touch everything he's got, but you can't touch him. I'm going to let you come at him. I'm going to let you have the trigger, but I'm going to keep my hand on the throttle. And I'm going to let you know how far you can go with this man, because I know how much he can take. Some of y'all in here right now don't understand. You're thinking, God, I can't take much more. And God's going, yeah, you can. I created you. Yeah, you can. Matter of fact, I can't do what I want to do with you until I take you beyond yourself. I've got to allow Satan free access to you. Because if I don't, you'll never be able to destroy him like I've got plans for you to destroy him. You know those guys in the sheriff's office, before they can spray you with mace, they got to be sprayed with mace? Before they can take the gun and shoot you with the taser, they've got to be tased. Before a man goes on a battlefield, he's already had 10 weeks plus of training in boot camp plus infantry training before he ever steps on the field. And when they practice, you know why some people die in boot camp? They get shot in boot camp. It's not as bad now as it used to be. It's because when they were learning to crawl under the fences, there was live ammo. And sometimes the live ammo would get wild and shoot the guys. You go, why be so mean? Really? Brother Hasten, when I was in the internship program, I thought he was the meanest man. I thought he wanted blood out of a turnip every week. I said, ugh. And there I was working swing shift, and I had to read 4 books that month, 4 books to be tested on, and read the Bible. They assigned the Bible. And so I was reading the 4 books, and I had the Bible assigned. And then at my own expense, I had to go across the state and spend 2 days in a seminar at my own expense. And I'm there, and I'd been on third shift, and there'd been some stuff at work, and I was working overtime trying to get machines going. And so it was hard to read the books. And so I got there. Normally, I made in the mid to high 90s on all my testing. This day, I made an 88. And on Sunday morning, Brother Hasem said, hello, Brother Litton. How'd you do yesterday? I said, well, you know, I've had a hard time, brother. I've been working all these hours, and you had a revival, and I mean, I was just there. He goes, how did you do yesterday? I said, but you just don't understand what I've been through, Brother Haseb. He said, how did you do yesterday, Brother Litton? I said, well, I made an 88. I was testing on 4 books and several books of the Bible. That was the month's plan. Plus, I've been doing all his stuff and work. And he goes, I'm thinking he's going to go, there, Brother Litton. It'll be okay. He looked at me and he went, he said, totally unacceptable. He said, you better not ever come back here with anything below a 92. Ever. And I said, but Brother Haseb, he said, no buts. I said, you've been working me. He said, I know I'm working you hard. You'll appreciate it one day. I said, but 88, he said, 92, nothing less. And I said, yes, sir. And every now and then, I'd roll my eyes at that man. But when I started pastoring, I called him up multiple times. And I said, Brother Haseb, he said, yes, Brother Linton. I said, why weren't you harder on me? He said, I gave you all you could handle. I said, yeah, but you didn't tell me it was this hard. He said, you wouldn't have believed me, brother. He said, but do you believe me now? It's hard. I said, yes, brother, I believe it's hard. You see, God is getting you ready for something else. And you don't even see it. You don't understand. That God's working a work in you, and he's using Satan and the world to help mold and shape and take off the rough edges and build you up when you need to be built up, tear you down where you need to be tore down. So by the time your mission is there, you're going to be ready. So now let's look at this. Let's just do it. Watch this. There's the hedge. The devil said I'd come after him, but you done build up a hedge. Well, why don't we have Job's hedge? Anybody ever said that? Where's our hedge? Where's my hedge at, God? Job's got a hedge. Where's my hedge? Paul could not see good. He had malaria. He also had palsy from being stoned. When he walked into town, this is not me just making this up. When he walked into town, he drug a leg. He had an arm that was weaker than the other. Short man, spittle run down his face as he's walking. He has such a bad time that he brings his own personal physician, Luke, with him. Everywhere you go, he's got Luke with him, his doctor. He's going blind from being in all those prisons and can't see. And he says, now there's a messenger from Satan buffeting him, telling him how bad he is. He's killed all these people. There is no forgiveness for you. All this stuff, he's telling him this. If God really loves you, you'd be healed by now. I can just imagine all this stuff that the devil is telling Satan, the messenger of Satan, to buffet, which means to take your fist and beat with a fist. And so he went into seasons of prayer. 3 seasons of prayer. God, remove this from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Let's just talk about this for a minute. This is our hedge. 2 Corinthians 12:6-10, he says, because God's done so much with me, and it says, so I don't get a big old head, God allowed this messenger to come along. And it says, a thorn in his flesh. That word flesh literally means there was something physically wrong with him. And we know what this is by looking in the history books, by looking in tradition. We know what was wrong with him. Or we assume that we know what's wrong with him. But not only was it in his body, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He was beat up physically, spiritually, emotionally. Anybody here ever been beat up spiritually, physically, emotionally? Wow. And so here's Job in the body of Paul. And God says, my grace is enough. What's grace? Getting something you don't deserve. What is it we don't deserve? What's his grace? The cross. No matter what you're going through today, the cross is enough. Somebody say it with me. The cross is enough. Say it again. The cross is enough. The cross is enough. It said that we're sufficient. Literally, that word sufficient means to raise a barrier, to build a hedge. There's our hedge. My grace builds a hedge for you. My grace is sufficient. He says, so now that I understand that the cross is enough, when I realize that my strength isn't enough, I take pleasure. Because if my strength isn't enough, God's strength makes it perfect. Wow. You see, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because I'm not depending on me. I don't have the answers. I don't know. I've had people come into my office and say, Pastor, can you just give me a 1, 2, 3, give me an answer? And I say, I ain't got one. That's that apostle trying to talk. Ain't got one. My brother gave me something, and I wanted to put it up on the wall, and I got to figure out how to do it without breaking it. That's why I haven't done anything to it yet. My brother has a picture, a mirror, broken glass, and it's Jesus, his figurine, on the cross. And it's all mirrors. And there's been times, I had it sitting in my office, there have been times when I said, God, I don't know what to do anymore. God, I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. And I'd hear the Lord say, look to the cross. And then when I was wondering, was I doing it right? Look in the cross. I want you to see your reflection in that cross. And then you'll know if you're doing it right or not. You see, and I'm not going to get into it today because we got more to go, but he was rewarded for what he did. And I'm just going to talk real fast. Y'all get ready because it's almost time for McDonald's to open. Ready? Resources in the storm. Ready? Here's what Satan used. I wonder if y'all have ever had any of these. Ready? Here's what he used. First, Satan used people conflict. I know nobody's got any people conflict. The Bible says, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped to tell thee. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, came another and said, the Chaldeans, made out of 3 bands, fell upon the camels and carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only have escaped to tell thee. It's so simple, yet so complicated. Because sometimes, get ready, we are the people. God let Satan use people to bring conflict. Then there is the supernatural. The Bible says, and while yet speaking came another, and fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only bless. Sometimes it's supernatural. We can't explain why we're having this storm. And then sometimes he absolutely uses the weather. And there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, not alone to escape to tell thee like a tornado. And then, personal conflict, his wife and his friends. Over the years, especially back in the early days, I remember saying, God took all of his family but a nagging wife. And people would laugh and go, yeah, amen, a nagging wife. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, have you lost it, son? Do you realize how stupid that sounds? Because watch this. Here's the facts of the matter. Job lost everything he owned, including his 10 children. And he says, I'm going to trust God. And she says, look what God's doing to you. Why don't you just curse him and die? They both suffered the same loss. We can't pick out Miss Job and beat her up. We all suffer. In our family, we can suffer the same thing, but one handle it different than the other. Job decided to handle it by faith. She handled it by fear. Either way about it, we'll see that we can't beat up on her. But his three friends come to lift him up, and they beat him up too. Well, Job, if you hadn't been such a heathen, obviously you've done something wrong. And then finally, the sickness, the boil. So I'm getting ready to close. Y'all looking like y'all ready to close. Y'all ready to close? Nobody will say anything now, but you're going. Resources of the storm. Watch this. It affected the reach of the storm. It affected his ability first to reproduce. Livestock destroyed. It ruined his ability to produce. His servants were destroyed. It ruined his ability to reproduce a legacy because his children are now destroyed. It hindered his ability to produce because his leadership, because now his health is destroyed. Wow, this man's really going through it. But here it is, and I'm getting ready to close. And DC, come on up and get ready to play something, bro. You can grow bitter or you can grow better. The Bible said, after he got knocked to his knees, that he arose, which means to establish, to stand again. Then it said it rent his mantle and shaved his head, which is an outward sign of mourning. Then he fell down. And then he worshiped God, and he recognized God's sovereignty. Because he says, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He was saying, God is sovereign, and he's our source. When Bethany died, 27 years old, she wanted to get married and she wanted to have kids, and she loved kids. And I remember her and as I saw her slipping away, there was times I have to admit that I say, God, it just doesn't make sense. She's had a troubled life all the way up, beaten up as a little kid, and molested, and her face broke, and having to get her face rebuilt, and all this mental problems and social problems, and then we finally get her back straight again, we think, and then she gets the cancer. And I remember just me and God sitting in the cancer wing. and I'm looking out at the windows outside, watching cars go by and watching people come in the building. And I said, God, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you trust me? I said, of course I trust you, God. And then the craziest thing, he said, let me work my work. Wow. And when I got up and walked away, I said, okay, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'm going to return. I refuse to blame God in any of this. And I felt peace. Everybody stand. Have you ever noticed when you first start school, of course now they got tablets. Back then our tablets used chisels. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Now they got tablets and they got all this stuff on there. Back in the day, we had a great old big cement pencil. Remember the great big pencils? Did you notice something about that great big pencil didn't have an eraser? Did you notice that? It's because we were learning. In order for us to learn, the teacher needed to see our mistakes so she could help us fix them. Our life doesn't have an eraser. And God's watching us. And if we're not reacting right or acting the way we should, He'll point it out. You can't erase it. It's right there. And He'll keep on giving you that trial till you learn what He's trying to teach you in that trial. Job in the end said, God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things does He, which we cannot comprehend. Right there. Don't grow weary in this battle. Don't let go your hold. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you, and He won't let go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question I'm going to ask is, have you felt a little disconnect from God lately? You feel like maybe I'm not where I should be with Him. Maybe I've backed off because of trials. I've backed off because things haven't been easy. But I want God to work His work in me. And I've come to a realization today that maybe I'm not where I should be with Him. But I know God can fix that just like that. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you today, and you would say, yes, I feel disconnected. I'm not the way I had been with Him. And maybe it's because I've been angry at Him because of what I've gone through. Not realizing that if God allowed anything, it's for my growth, not for my destruction. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you say, yeah, I feel a little disconnected and I want to get it right, would you slip that hand up quick like, I feel a little disconnected. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now. Maybe you're here today and you might not could have seen yourself when I spoke about Job, what all he lost at one time, but when I started putting it in regular talk, Satan used people in conflict with other people, supernatural, weather, personal conflict, friends, his wife, and personal sickness to test him. And now you're saying, you know what? I can see myself in this story. And I can feel it. And I know God's got me, but I just need that touch from Him today to help me as I maneuver through the conflict in my life and the sickness. With nobody looking around, we just stick your hand up and say, I just need God to do something special. Bless them, Lord. 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 I want y'all to repeat after me. Father, if there's any disconnect in my life, help me reconnect today. Help me, Lord, not to keep asking why, but start asking what do you want me to learn from this? Lord, reconnect, and I thank you. And I thank you, God, for your power and your provision and your hope. Lord, I give you me today. Show me what I'm to learn from this trial, from this season of trials. And help me, because I know that your blood covers it all. It's never lost its power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You want to sing that? Hold on. Let me get your microphone. Oh, here.
Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its immense power to the highest mountains, and it flows to the lowest valley, and the blood that gives me strength. And from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.